this is not a halacha lemaisa shir. My goal over here isn't to pass ked halacha shailas that you'll have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. But the goal today is really to understand some of the concepts of how the concept of minig works, how the concept of minig works. Okay, so we find the concept of minig, one of the places in Shas, not the only place, one of the places in Shas where the more mentioned idea of minig is on page 1, Mishnah, the beginning of the fourth parak in Psachim. It says, Makam shenogu lasus malacha barbi psachim al chatzayis oisim. Makam shenogu shalasus en oisim. That if there were various different customs in regards to doing malacha on Erev Pesach before Chatzos, the Rishonim from after Chatzos, we do not do malacha. Different reasons why not. Before Chatzos, there were various customs. Some places yes, some places no. So the Mishnah says either one is a valid minig. A person is a resident in a city where the standard custom was to do work on Erev Pesach before Chatzos. And he now travels this year, he's in a different city where they don't do work, or vice versa. So he has to keep the chumras of both places. If he comes to a place which does not do work, even though right now he's in a place which does do work, he cannot do work. He has to keep the minhag of the place that he came from. If he normally does do, if he normally does not, if he does work and he goes to a place where they don't, he also cannot do work over there either. And the Mishnah continues and says, you cannot be different than the standard practice of the place where you go to, because that's going to generate disagreement by doing so. It's going to generate machloikas. If I'm in the town where everybody doesn't work and I'm busy out there mowing my lawn and Erev Pesach before Chatzos, people are going to get pretty upset. Right? So even though I don't live here, I just happen to visit right now for this, so it's not my minig. I don't have that minig. But I can't do a minig different than that of the city because of machloikas. Now that seems to be a repetition of the point we just said. We just said if you go from a place where they do work to a place where they don't work, you have to keep the chumrah of the place you went to. Then it says, "Al yishan ibn amachloikas." So this is this idea, the explanation why. The reason why I have to keep the minhag of the new place that I'm in is because otherwise it'll generate disagreements. Or there's a din of going to, when I come to a new place, I have to keep the minhag of that place. And Al yishan ibn amachloikas is a separate point. So that's a question which needs to be clarified. Hopefully we'll get to that. So when we see there's a concept of minigam. A, we see there's a concept called minigam makam and has validity in halacha. The minigam of a place has validity. And B, we see that when a person comes in, he has to follow the minigam, even though it's not his place, he has to follow the minigam of that place. Okay, so that's what we see from the Mishnah. So the more in the discussion on this Mishnah, the more later on page 2, down towards the bottom, it's underlined. So more brings a story. B'nei Baishon Nohuk Shadulay Havi Ozlin Mitzar Letzidon B'mali Shabbat. The B'nei Baishon, we'll have to see what Baishon was in a second, had a minig not to go from the city of Tzor to the city of Tzidon on Erev Shabbos. Rashi says, what's extraordinary about that? There was a market day in the city of Tzidon on Erev Shabbos. And it was a good place to go and sell things and buy things. But they wouldn't do that because they felt it was going to detract from them getting ready for Shabbos. So they didn't do that. That was their minhag. Also Banayo, Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. So the next generation came to Rabbi Yochanan.
Who is the next generation?
The next generation of the B'nai Baishon. Omerlo, they said to Rabbi Yochanan, Avosin Efshaluhu, our fathers, Rashi says, which were wealthy, were able to forgo the opportunity to go to the market on Friday. They could afford to not go. But Ananlo Efshalom, we are poor, we're impoverished, and we cannot afford not to go. We need to go to the market. So we would like to find out if it's permitted for us to change the meaning of what our fathers have done. Omerlohu, your fathers have accepted upon themselves, which means that you cannot change. So the pasuk says, "Mishle, listen to the musar of your father, and do not leave the Torah of your mother." So the Mefarshim explain, what is the Torah of the mother? The mother doesn't teach Torah, the father teaches Torah. So what, when the Pasuk says the Torah of the mother, what is it telling you? So the word Torah means direction, harog, giving a person direction how to do something. So the Torah of the father is the Torah of the Masara of Torah. The mother teaches you how to act. That's what a mother does. The mother teaches you how to act. So do not leave the Torah of your mother, that which your parents have taught you how to act properly, you shouldn't change. Which means, this is not a halachic issue, because it wasn't halacha. So that we go under, quote unquote, the father's purview. This is it's how to act properly, that's what normally the mother would teach. So over here was the father's accepted at the point being, but the pasuk refers to that is the lessons of the parents, which are outside of the realm of Torah. So you have to keep those also. So this is not a halachic issue, because halachically it would be mutter halachically to go. There's no reason why a person couldn't go. But since they accept upon themselves this type of relationship with Shabbos, you have to continue doing the same thing. Now, if you look over there in the bottom, the way the Gemara reads, so this issue over here was simply that they decided to undertake a special personal chumrah, not based in halacha. I mean, we understand why they did it, but it was the person was making their own personal fence around Shabbos. I'm going to make a special way to keep Shabbos, I'm going to protect it. If you look at the Rabbeinu Chanan on the bottom, he changes the story a little bit. He brings something to Yerushalmi. The question over here was the travel from Sur to Sidon, they would actually go out into the Mediterranean and they would travel up the coast. So now the question over here is, are you allowed to go out by boats on Erev Shabbos from Sur to Sidon? That was the question. But also lehem, you cannot go out into the Mediterranean even though you're going for a short trip. Because once you're on the water, we don't know what's going to happen. So this is now not a, this was not a, just an idea of, well, let's make a special protection for Shabbos. This was a halachic issue, because there's a machloikis in the Gemara in Shabbos, whether you're allowed to actually travel by boat on Erev Shabbos for a short trip. Now, Avozeh, Afilo Neder, Nishal, Matirnoi. Just if a person undertakes to do, be careful about something, he makes a Neder. You can be Matir Neder. You go to the rabbi, say, listen, you know, before I thought I could handle it, now I realize I can't handle it. I want to be Matir my Neder. So I can be, if the problem would just be the way Rashi learns the story, that, you know, we decided to be very careful about Shabbos, what we could afford, now we can't afford, we're Matir Neder. So we be Matir the Minig, the Rabbeinu Chanan says. So why did he tell him that? Why did Rabbi Yochanan say you can't change? Because Rabbi Yochanan says, I paskin, like the opinion which says that it's prohibited. Your father's, it wasn't a question of a netter, it's a question of there were two opinions in the Gemara. And your parents undertook the halakha like one of them. That's not an idea of making a special fence around the mitzvah. That's a new concept. So now we see in front of us two types of minhagim. One of minhagim is where it's clearly permitted, everybody undertook to create a certain protection for a mitzvah. A siyog, a netter, etc. Can you change that? That's one type of netter. The second type of netter is where there was two opinions in halakha, and it became the minhagim to follow opinion A. Can you now switch to opinion B? Once you accept that opinion A is the halacha, can you change to opinion B? So that's two types of minhagim. Both are what we call minhag, because you might say another place they paskin like opinion B. But in this town, they paskin like opinion A. So can I change to opinion B? That's a different question. Oh, I'm only matir neder. It's not a question of making a neder over here. It's a question of we felt that this was the halacha. We have to follow the halacha. So Rabbi Yochanan said, that's it. You got to stick with that. So Rashi's version of the Gemara and the Ben Chanan's version of the Gemara are two different Gemara, two different, very, very different. Now, what was B'nai Baishan? B'nai Baishan was we refer to a family called Baishan. The B'nai Baishan were the members of the family. That's one possibility. Or B'nai Baishan was the name of a people of a city, or also called the people of a city, or called the B'nai Ear X. You know, we call the B'nai New York, right? You know, how would only call B'nai New York anyway? Right? But, right? They're the B'nai Ear. They're the people of the city. So is Baishan a city? And now we're talking about Minig Hamakim. Or is Baishan a family? And we're talking about Minig Ovis. Whichever version you want, like Rashi or the Ben Chana, what was Baishan? Okay? So that's a question which we're going to see later on. What was Baishan? Was Baishan a city or was it a family? Okay. That's point number two. So we've seen seemingly a new type of minig issue, which we didn't see in the Mishnah. It was a group undertook to do something, and it's compelling on the next generation. So the Mishnah discussed people coming from outside of the city and keeping the minig in the city. Here we're talking about the next generation keeping the minig. So that's a new point which we didn't see before. Okay. Page number three. Page number three is, so just a little bit of background, there's an issue in the Torah that the Torah said for a behemoth, one of the kosher animals, which are the domesticated kosher animals. There are parts of the animal, there's in the, all of the meat, there's always the fat. You know, there's a lot of fat within the meat. But then there's areas of the body which are covered with layers of fat. Protective layers of fat on the intestines, on the below, underneath the abdominal wall, in between the abdominal wall and the items between, there's a layer of fat. So that's called chaylev. So one of the questions was that the more has a machloikus, the more in kulin has a machloikus on a layer of fat which was found, and which would basically be the equivalent of the beginning of the intestines. Or, well, the end of the stomachs. They have animals four stomachs. The last stomach is called the keva. And there is a layer of fat which is attached. Normally, the other layers of fat which we were talking about, the chaylev, are more loose. They can actually move a little. There's fat. They have a membrane around them. And they're somewhat mobile. This is more attached. So the more is a machloikus on that type of fat. What is that considered chaylev and it's also to eat? Or it's not? That's called the chaylev on the ayasra. The ayasra is the outside curve. Okay, of the last stomach. So where it says, Kiyasa Rabbi Barbachana, so in Eretz Yisrael, the minig was to permit it. In Babel, the minig was to prohibit it. So Rabbi Barbachana came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, and he ate it. That was his minig. He held it was mutter. So he's in a town where everybody holds it also. He's eating it, he holds it to mutter. So these two Tamei Chachamim came in to greet Rabbi Barchana, and he's having his, you know, chaylev over there, you know, and they're walking in. So the Mor says, "Kima the chazino kasye minayu." When he saw them, he covered it because he can't in front of their face do different than their minute. Okay. So the Mor says. Skip a line. The Mor says, "How can he do that?" Rabbi Bechana less lay hodet nan noisinav chumrim makom sheyotzim yisham, chumrim makom shahalak l'sham. The mission says that when you come to a new place, you have to keep the chumras of the new place. Well, the chumra and the chumra of the new place is over here. We don't eat this type of chaylev. So how could he follow his custom in Eretz Yisrael when that it's mutter in Babel where the minig is to make it also? That the mission said, you go to a new place, you have to keep the chumras in a new place. So how could he eat it? So Mor gives two terutz. So Rabbi, the first answer is that we're going to limit the din of the Mishnah that Eretz Yisrael, because it has primacy in matters of halacha, was not required to subjugate itself to the chumras of Bava. So Ben Eretz Yisrael goes to Bava, he can keep his kulas. At the same time, he can't do it publicly because that might confuse people. So he saw somebody walked in, he covered it. But he's allowed to keep his old minute because he's from Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael has primacy over above. That's a biased answer. Rav Ashi, I'm going to skip down to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says a very important answer. We pass on like Rav Ashi. I feel it's him, but Eretz Yisrael above. No, even from Eretz Yisrael above, the rule is when you go from Eretz Yisrael above, you have to keep the minute, the chumras above. We don't say that Eretz Yisrael has primacy, supremacy, and it doesn't have to keep the. You go from Eretz Yisrael, they have a kula. You go to above, they have a chumra. You have to keep the chumra above. But so that's if you're planning to settle. When I go from place A to place B, I have to keep the chumras of place B if I'm planning to settle in place B. But Rabbi Baruch Hu died to Lachso, he was planning to go back to Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't planning to settle, he was just visiting. So now let's go back into the mission for a second. So the mission says, Ayashanim the Machloitis. Don't do it publicly because that will create Machloitis. So the first din of the Mishnah was that you keep the minig of the new place that you go to. That's if you're planning to settle. I'm not planning to settle. I still can't do it on their face. That's the second point of the Mishnah of Al Yishanim Bnei Machloikus. So there's two different dinim in the Mishnah. One is when I move from place A to place B, I now am compelled to keep the customs of place B, the chumras of place B. And even if I'm not planning to settle, and I'm really allowed to keep my kulas, I can't do it in a way which is going to create machlokes. So I can't do it in a way which will be a shinoi, it'll be visible that I'm doing different than they. Okay. So come to Rav Ashi is limiting the halacha of the Mishnah very much. That this halacha, that I have to keep the chumras of the new place, is only if I'm planning to settle. If I'm not planning to settle, I come from city A, I come from Chicago, right? In Chicago, they permit this. I'm allowed to permit, now in summer swing, I'm allowed to keep being Mekel. Although nobody knows about it, right? I'm allowed to keep being Mekel. I don't have to keep the chumras of the new place. That's what Rashi is saying. Yeah.
So what happens, like, with the CRC, like the OU and stuff like that? Do we consider that a minhag when the CRC says a halacha? Because, like, I mean, we said part of a minhag is when there's opinion A, opinion B, you can the whole, like, the city. So do we say this, the CRC is something that's like Chicago, if the OU says something, it's like us, or Sarkei, I should say.
That itself maybe is a different discussion. Because we live in a world of global communication, things get a little more complicated. Now, Tosfos over here has a problem, which is a very important problem. So now let's read the Mishnah according to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is like this. The Mishnah is talking about a case of place when you're planning to settle, right? That's why you're keeping the minhag of the new place. And still it says you keep the minhag of the old place. The Mishnah says you keep the chumras of the new place plus the chumras of the old place, which means I go to Chicago and I pick up 5 chumras and 5 kulas, right? Now I go to Baltimore, so and there's 5 new chumras, so I got to keep those, but the 5 old chumras I also have to keep because it said you keep the chumras malkum, even though I'm settling in Baltimore. Now I go to New York and I keep going, I keep adding all my chumras. Chumras you always keep and you only add new chumras, right? That's what the Chumra of the Mishnah comes out according to Rav Ashi, right? The problem is there's a Gemara Kulin says not like that. The Gemara Kulin says that the story, the opposite direction, a person went from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. And in Babel, again, there was a machloikis and halacha about a certain place that when they did shkita, very high up in the trachea, is it a valid shkita or not? So in Babel, they were machmer, and Eretz Yisrael, they were mekel. Right? And he went from Babel, which they were machmer, to Eretz Yisrael, which they were mekel. And he started eating the kula dikathi. So he started being mekel, like the chumra of the place, the kulas of the new place that he went to. So the verse says, what happened to the halacha? You have to keep the chumras of the place you came from? No, that's only if you're planning to go back. If you're planning to settle, you don't have to keep the chumras of the new place. The old place. So now, it comes out, the only time you keep the chumras of the old place is if you're planning to go back. The only time you keep the chumras of the new place is if you're planning to settle. So what's the case of the Mishnah? Are you planning to settle? Either way, you're not going to keep the chumras of both places. So Tosfos asked the kasha, "V'chul nami mitaritz v'zera ein daito lach." So he wasn't planning to go back, and that's why he was mekel. So now Tashkosh the hashal it's done in Katani. It comes out there's no place where you do both. It means there are people which keep this chumra, people which keep that chumra. Depends. Means the mission is not talking about one case, talking about two possible possibilities. There are cases where you're going to keep the chumra of the place you came from when you're planning to go back. The place where you keep the chumra of the place where you're planning where you went to when you're planning to settle. And that's two different cases in the Mishnah. That's not a nice way to learn a Mishnah, but that's the place that you're forced to say. You keep the chumras of the old place is only b'day to lach when you're planning to go back there. It's only b'day to lach. You only keep the chumras of the new place when you're planning to settle. So that's a funny way to learn a Mishnah, but that's how you have to learn the Mishnah. Time not permitting, but the Rambam disagrees. Okay? Rambam disagrees. Okay, I'm going to skip now to page 6. So now, before we discuss this idea of a chumra of passing on a minhag, why is the minhag binding for the first generation? Why is the minhag binding for the people who did it? Why can't they change it? I start doing something, I'll change tomorrow. So that's the Gemara in Adorim. The Gemara says, there's an issue in the Torah of Balyachal, Devorah, do not, a person makes a neder, a person makes a vow, he cannot take his words and make them chulin. Means take away, profane them. He has to keep the sacred words that he said. He promised something, he's got to keep it. The Gemara says, that's on a Torah level. There are cases where it was instituted by the rabbis. There's the Isser Bayachal in a situation which is only Mir Rabbanon. And yes, but tell you like we learned in the Braisa, the Varma Mutarim. V'cherim noga behen Isser. something which is really halachically permitted, and people have undertaken to prohibit it. They've decided to be, they're annoying chumra. They're annoying. They didn't make a netter, they just started doing it. You cannot permit it for them. You cannot, not only cannot halakhically permit it for them, you can't even undermine it. You shouldn't eat it in their face, because that's going to undermine it. So you, means a person starts doing something, he's mechuyev to continue it, mirabanan. He's mechuyev to continue it. So this is the idea we do, we make hataras adorim erev Rosh Hashanah, well maybe I started doing something good and I didn't say bli neder, so now I'm mechuyev to keep doing it. But I'm afraid I didn't do that, so I'm worried about I do a taras adorim. So this is the beginning point of a minute. We start doing something, it becomes compelling in halacha. Once you start, you have to keep continuing doing it. Okay.
So what's the Rabbanan?
So the Chachamim made it to Kana and said that the halacha is that it becomes, even though you never said a netter, it gets the power of a netter. Mi Rabbanan. Okay, now, page 7, just like we should do this, this is like now the introduction to the concept of minig. It's important to know that Ramos says, in Siman Tov Reis Sadi, we talked about the minig of banging by Haman. You get the Haman, says it's a minig. Some people were not happy with the minig. You cannot in any way nullify any of the minhagim which Klai Yisrael has. A little galav, you shouldn't even laugh at them. Kilo lechinam hukvu. They weren't established for no reason at all. There was a very good reason why they were established. So the Ramah says, an important Ramah, that we keep minhagim. So this is where the place the Ramah says don't. As they say, there's actually a Ramah in one place, a Ramah in the Tshuva. He says that the word minig and the word gehenim have the exact same letters. When you start scrambling the minhagim, you end up with gehenim. So don't start up. The Magen Rambam, page 8, brings that if on line 3, affiliation b'minig sad iser ein levatloi, brings him a rik, it says like this. Let's say there's two opinions on halacha, and this really based on the standard way we would paskin that it's prohibited. But the minig is to be makel. So now you're dealing with a minig which seems to be bordering on a question of iser. He says you can't be mevatel to the minig. If that became the established custom to paskin l'kula, even though normally we would have paskin l'chumra, right? But it became a standard minig to do that. I mean, that's what the Yerushalmi says, a rule. If you minig welcome, it's only one city did like that. It wasn't all of Klai Yisrael. It was one city did like that. I mean, shemevatel l'cha. So that minig over there would override the standard procedure in halacha. So that's how powerful a minig is. If the minig became in this city to follow a certain pesik l'kula, even though normally we would have passed in the Chumra, you maintain the minute. Now, it says, if the situation changed, you're allowed to change. You know, depending on the circumstance, you're allowed to change. That's Yerushalmi. That says, the most opinions say it's prohibited. And we have a Gemara which seems to prove it. So we should pass on the chumra. But minig bani al pi psikta swarm acherim. It's based on the swarm which are not as reliable as the Gemara. Masechta Smachis, psikta, these type of swarm. So the minig is like them. The Gemara seems to be mashed the other way. The chumra. I mean, a minig ocher halacha. The minig like the psikta or that those other swarm will override the halacha, and it's going to be mutter. The vadi came kibla sent him each for piish. We assume there was a valid transmission from generation to generation, that it's okay. V'davka minig shem nisyas set up yivasik, and we know that this is an ancient minig, so we assume there's a very good reason why it started. Right? If I know it's been the last, you know, it's been a minig in the last 20 years. I mean, I know how it started. It started because somebody made a mistake. That's not what we're talking about. We have an ancient minig which seems to be questionable based on how we learn the Gemara. And there's some safer out there, you know, one of the medrash which supports it. Like, I can pass like a medrash connected to Gemara. But they did. That, and it's an ancient minig. We assume they did it for good reason. That's how powerful a minig is. Okay. Now, here's the fascinating question. Page 9. Back to B'nai Baishan. What was B'nai Baishan? Was it a family or was it a city? So the Pri Chodesh in Siman Tov Sadi Vav says the following. Mishanog Aviv Eisa Dover Mishum Siyaga Chasidus. The father undertook something to be careful, or he wants to be stringent. Aderech Moshe, for example, Shekibah Lov, Lisanos Beis Vehei, Kol Yom. Father fasts every Monday and Thursday. He doesn't eat meat the same day that he eats. If he eats meat in the morning, he doesn't eat cheese the rest of the day. 6 hours, no. 12 hours, no. He decided he wants to undertake a special care. He's not going to have meat and milk in the same day. Period. Okay. He had similar things like that. So now it's the minigavus. So now his son has to do that also. It's clear the son does not need to do that also. So the son started doing it himself with intention to continue. Then he's undertaken it himself. Because his father did it, that does not compel the son to do it. The Hashar Kibla Latzma, he made his own decision. It does not mean Shema Benim Aserevicha. He brings a raya from the Gemara in Kulin. What's the Gemara in Kulin? The Gemara says a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says that there was a Mara named Mar Ukva. It says, Amar Mar Ukva, Anola Milsa Kola Bar Chamra. Compared to my father, Lagabi Abba, compared to my father, I'm like vinegar compared to wine. Dilo Abba, Kiab Ocho Bissa, Hidno, Lehabi Ocho, Gimina, Lamokar Ad Hashta. My father would wait 24 hours between meat and milk. Vilo Anoa, Bahasudasa, Hudulo Echilna. Bahrita Echilna, I wait 6 hours. I wait for one meal. Their meals was a morning meal and an evening meal. If I eat meat in the morning meal, I will eat cheese in the evening meal. I don't wait 24 hours. Now, so what was Marukra saying? That I didn't keep my father's halacha. How do you do that? What happened to Menagavus? Says the Masa Melech, says, you see, there's no chiyuv of keeping Menagavus. Okay. So skip down. V'akaponim, I didn't posh a chain of Benachayav, Linag, Min Siyagam, Gedaris, Aviv. V'ahudah b'nei b'ayshon. Aye, so what's the story of b'nei b'ayshon? The race parak Malkam Shinogu, the Nog Loy Ozam Mitzal Tzina Mal Shabbat. They wouldn't go travel from Sar Tzina to Shabbos. Von Rabbi Yechon on Kabli Avayav Seichem Aleim. They bear a Kabbalit. Shanya He the Baishan Enos Shem Ish El Shem Malkam. Baishan is the name of a city. Baishan was a contraction for the words the Hainu Beis Shan. There's a city called Beis Shan, and it was known in the Gemara. It was referred to the Gemara as Baishan. It was this contraction of the word Beis Shan. We're talking about a city. A city has a minig. There's a minig of Malkam of a city. That's compelling. But a minig of a father to a son is not compelling the Pre-Chad HaShots. So, the Fichah B'nai Yir, skipping again, Chayavim Lassus, Lisnag Api, Siyagam G'darshal, what the city undertook to do, that becomes this, the minig of the city, and that goes from generation to generation. Yukhen Misbar B'tshuvas Rivosh, which we have in the packet later on. Shekos B'zel HaShanoi, Yechalim HaBitzibar Lassus, Tekon Aleim, Valzarom, that when the tzibur can undertake to do something, they can undertake it for this generation and for coming generations also. Then he quotes over here Ramban, like you find a Kabbalah Satara. So the Klaiso was Makabal the Torah. No, okay, I wasn't there. I wasn't Makabal the Torah. So the Kanes Yitzchak says, Chazal say, Rashi brings in the beginning of Parshat Nitzavim, all of the neshamas were there. Okay, it's one answer. But the Ramban says, the Kabbalah of the Abbas works for the kids. But that's talking about what the Pre-Chodesh is talking about. That's because as not an individual person, but as a tzibur undertook to do something, that continues. The Gemara in Huria says, because we look at it, tzibur never dies. Tzibur Lemesa, the Gemara says. Once you have a community, the individuals come and go, but the tzibur remains intact. So the tzibur undertook to do something, so that works for all the people who move into the tzibur. It also works from generation to generation. It's the same tzibur. Right? I mean, we know we lost. We had the tzibur, which were destroyed in the war. The Chavos Yoreh says if they had a city, which is there was an expulsion from a city, a very common issue in Germany, right? If they go en masse to another city, they remain a tzibur, and they keep them in hagam of the tzibur. So even though it's a lach and minig amokim, it means the tzibur of the city of Frankfurt has a minig. Well, now the city of Frankfurt happens to be in Washington Heights, but that group went en masse. That's still their minhagim. But the tzibur is considered to be a continuation of that original tzibur. It's all part of one unit. And that's true if they make an enactment. They didn't decide it. El Shinogu came out, so they started doing it. For a getter of a siyag l'tara, Avavadim chayavim lino b'rois together, and that's the Gemara in Pesachim. That is the quote from the Rivosh. Rivosh is one of the Rishon. Okay, so that's how the Pre-Chodesh links. The Pre-Torah on page 10, Pre-Torah was the counterpart to the Pre-Chodesh, they argue. The Pre-Chodesh, so the Pre-Torah is written actually by the Archaim HaKadosh and Chumash, wrote a Sefer on Yeridea called Pre-Torah. Also wrote a Sefer on Masechtas Brachos and Shabbos, etc. He was also a Lamed. It wasn't just a Darshan. So the Pre-Torah says, he's arguing on this, he brings the Pre-Chodesh, and he says, it was a family. So we have this machlokes between the Pre-Chodesh and the Pre-Torah was Baishan, the name of a city, the name of a family. So according to the Pre-Chodesh says, no, it can't be a family, minig, because it means we go from father to son. So why didn't Marukwa have to keep his father's minhagim and wait 24 hours? Right, that's his kasha. So it must be, it's a city. Cities have power to create a status of things in the city, and that's compelling. And that's what we talk about minig amakim. The Pre-Torah says, no, there's such a thing as minig avos. This is the machlokes. So the one answer which they give is that if the father undertook something which clearly meant it to be his own personal chumrah, then there's no chiv of minigobis. If he meant it, undertook it, this is what he wants the family, you know, if the patron of the family, the patriarch of the family, undertakes this is what the family does, then it's compelling. But if he wants to do his own personal thing, he decides he wants to fast every day, his kids don't have to fast every day, right?
It just has to be clearly told to...
It has to be obvious what you know which one you're talking about.
But based on what we saw in the it's got to also have some kind of a basis for it.
It has to have some basis for it. I mean, a siyog, someone who's done as a siyog or a getter, he's dealing with questions of Isser and Heter. This is the question of this is of siyog and getter and netter and getter. So, page 11 is the Rivosh, the quote from the Rivosh that he quotes over there. I'm not going to read it inside. But it's an interesting point. One point over here is if you look at the third set of underlining in the paragraph, Vekasav Ramban, so the second set of underlining in that paragraph. Left column, Vekasav Ramban, Vim Loyhoya Beyada, Ovis Lasakan al Abonim. So he understands that the way it works from generation to generation, he means as a tzibur. If we have no power to make something which is compelling for the next generation, so they're learning over. He's learning over here that this halacha of the Gemara, which the Pre-Chodesh understands, he means based on Mokum. It's not the pshat of you. Who am I talking to? Am I talking to the generation A and saying, listen, you have the power to institute something which will be compelling on generation B? Or am I talking to Generation B? So you have a responsibility to follow what Generation A did. Who is he talking to? So the Rivosh learns he's talking to Generation A and saying, you have the power to institute something which will be compelling. That's how Minig works. Minig Amakim is they have a power to create a halakha on everybody in the city for all the generations. That's part of the power. So Shambani Masarvichal Valtita Tarzimecha really is just the result. Since they have a power to do it, therefore you have to listen to it. I'm not really talking to you, saying you have a responsibility to listen. Of course you must listen, because they made a rule. They instituted something. So that's how the Rivosh understands it. It's not a conversation to the son, it's really a conversation to the father. And that's how he understands what happened by the time of Kabbalah Satara. They were Mekabel for us, so of course we have to do it. Similar type of idea. That's the Rivosh. The language of the, that's page 11 and 12. The language of the Ran sounds a little bit different than that. That which people move into the city have to keep it is based on the Tekanot Chachamim. It's not based on the power of the city. That's how the Ran understands it. The Kavas Yor, we mentioned, talked about this idea that the father, the Chumras of the father do not apply to the son, but there is a concept of when a tzibur makes a Kabbalah, it goes along with the tzibur. But then he says, interesting question. But it goes when it goes along with the tzibur. Is that in each? Is that each person's personal responsibility, or is that the responsibility of the tzibur? The question being, of course, when I move out of the city, what's my halacha? So the Chavis Yor raises the question. He says, it was obvious when we made the original undertaking that we did, we understood people move out. So we never meant that it should be compelling on people when they move out. Which sounds like from him, which really means, some type of learns in him, that theoretically we could have done that. We could have put something on you, which now becomes your personal responsibility, your personal chiyuv. And now you move somewhere else, you still have to do it. But we sort of wrote a condition into our original undertaking that if you move out, because you marry somewhere out, and you move somewhere else, you're not going to be required to do so. So it means he's understanding that it's not the makom, it's each individual person has responsibility, now he's part of that makom, and that would go with him. It really would be something which would go with him, were not the fact that they made a condition otherwise. So some several learns that this is going to be a machloikis, is it on an individual person or not? Okay, we're not going to have time to do this. So just on page 16, it brings down the Gemara and the Dornim. If you start doing something, it's a chumrah, you got to keep doing it. If you want it, if you don't want it to be a netter, you better speak up with a netter. And then on page 17, he says, he quotes the Rivosh. When the tzibur undertakes something, it takes effect on them and the next generations to come. Even if they didn't actually enact it, they didn't make a vote. When they started doing it, it becomes compelling. People move in, and they also they have to keep doing that also. Then he says, when they move in, they can drop their chumas from the old place. When I settle here, I can drop the chumas from the old place. So it seems to be very much minig is based on makom. So if my father, when he lived in city A, kept the chumrah, he moved to city B, he's allowed to change. So I'm sure allowed to change, right? I mean, I didn't undertake. My father has no compelling minig on me. I moved now. So my father grew up in Munkach, you know. So in Munkach, they did whatever, you know. So now I'm not in Munkach anymore. Oh, it's Munkach, you know. So I don't have to keep minigovus according to the way the Mivosh is understanding, the way the Pichadosh is understanding. There's also things minigovus. There's minigomok. We refer to minigovus many times because ovus and mokum used to be, you know, were synonymous. You know, in shtetl, you go back in shtetl. So the Zaydu lives in shtetl, now the Zaydu lives in shtetl, now the Zaydu in shtetl, you know, good. So there was minigovus. But now I moved away to Varsha out of the shtetl, so I'm not mokhiv to keep minigovus. Right, let's look at would be true according to the Pichadosh, according to the Pitayer. Excuse me, Minigavis. There's something called Minigavis. Okay, the last few pieces we're not going to be able to have time to do. That if you want to look at it, you look at page 18. The Shach quotes him on Ramal Shaker that Charamim are able to be effective on generations to come, but Hanhagas and the Dorim of these type of things are not on the person's head, he calls it. I mean, it's the makom. Therefore, if you leave, there's nothing compelling it to do that. The question that comes up, the interesting question, which the Ron was dealing with, was a case of people lived in, somebody lived in Europe, in a place where the Kerem Ben Gershom held sway, and he moved now to a place where there's no Kerem Ben Gershom. He married a woman, right? You know, she figures that's it. It was only her because they live in France, and then they moved to North Africa. So he wants to take a second wife. There's no Kerem Ben Gershom. She says, "Whoa, what happened to Minig?" She says, "Is that which he was there now compelling upon him?" So the Ron says that really it's totally unwelcome. So. But once it becomes effective on the person, he lives in that makom, that becomes his din, he can't lose it when he moves somewhere else. That's what the Ron says. So once it becomes your minig, you take it with you. Now what happens to the next generation? I don't know, according to the Ron, what happens to the next generation. The Ron seems to sound like that it's a loch and makom, but it's portable. When you go to the next city, you keep your chumras, and that which you keep the chumras of the new city is because of machlokes, and that's it. That's what the Ron seems to learn. So it's a din on the, and that's how The Shulchan Aruch seems to learn, that's how the Beit Grua and the Chof Yaakov learn the Shulchan Aruch. That's how the Ksam Sefer wants to learn the Machlokes between the in the Gemara. In the way the Rambam learns the Gemara, is they're arguing, is it on the person, and therefore it goes with him no matter where he goes. The chumras of the old Malkum, and the chumras of the new Malkum is Krishna's because of Machlokes, or not. It's only based on Malkum. And according to the way he understands the Rambam, it's a din on the God, a din on the person. So you keep your chumras from where you came from, no matter where you go, and the chumras of the new place only because of Machlokes, not like we were learning before, not like Tosis. And he learns that that's how the Shulchan Aruch learns. That's how the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch learns. So that would be the final point, and again, we have no time to do all of this, that there is a concept of once this became the minhag elitza of the first generation, it goes with you. It's not just minhag malkum. The malkum gave you the minhag, but then it goes with you wherever you go.
Only the first malkum.
Only the first malkum. Yeah, so that pasha means only the first malkum. Where you started out, that was your malkum, that becomes your minhag, and that goes with you wherever you go. Now, will that work from generation to generation? Will the son be compelled to do that of the father? That's not clear in the Rambam. Or it's because he does start it out with a malkum, but the idea that it moves with the person, it remains his minig that wherever he goes afterwards, and the idea of keeping the chumras of the new malkum is only because of machloikis, but not because that becomes my malkum. So theoretically, it's on the person, not on the malkum then, the concept. Malkum is a vehicle to get a minig. So maybe that word worked from generation to generation or not. That's not clear in the Rambam. So we suggested three possibilities of how it works. According to Tosis, it's only Loch and Malkum. The way Pichodesh learns, the way the Pitar learns, there's a minig of Ovis, there's a family minig which exists, and then there's this idea which the Rambam seems to present, that the Ran talks about, that it starts with Malkum. He was in France, so he's Chayim Reda Gershom. Now he moved to North Africa, he still has to keep that minig of Chayim Reda Gershom. That's the Ran, and that seems to be where the Ksam Sefer understands the Rambam, without getting all that, doing all of that inside. It's a little bit complicated. That it goes on the person and it goes with him wherever he is, and that which you keep the minig of the new place is only because of machlokes. Really, your minig is the old minig, and maybe we could argue that maybe that would be able to go over from generation to generation. Okay, so that's the understanding of the halachic basis of how minig works. Again, it's not passing halacha shailas when you keep minig malkum. When you don't keep minig malkum, that's like a whole conversation in itself. You know, I walk into shul, I daven nusach svar, can I daven nusach ashkenaz out loud? You know, can I say yes for pekone in the kaddish when they don't say it? You know, am I allowed to say I'm a svardi and my kaddish has over there a whole long hosafa in Yehi Shlomo Rabba, which ashkenaz don't say, am I allowed to say it out loud? Rav Avadya says yes, Rav Moshe says no. You know, Rav Avadya says Yom HaKadosh, listen to Rav Moshe, right? Rav says Yom HaKadosh, listen to Rav Moshe. You know, that's a whole machlokes itself, how that works. I'm not getting involved in that right now. Okay, very good.